And welcome back, everyone, to MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Now, before we begin this week's topics, I'd like to tell you a little bit about last week and what went on. Me and my girlfriend participated in first Amonkhet draft at our local game store. It was roughly 20 people cut to top 8. So in my draft pod, I ended up going with the Rakdos guild again. I really enjoyed my seal pool a lot, and I was lucky enough to draft it as well. I drafted roughly 8 kill spells, and it was good enough to get me into the top 8. My girlfriend actually surpassed me in top 8, and she made it to top 4 with her draft. What's really lucky about it is it was her third time ever drafting, so I was really happy for her. She ended up drafting a cycle deck using roughly 17 cycle cards and 2 Drakehavens. Drakehaven, if you don't know what it does, it's a 3-drop enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you put out a 2/2 flying Drake token. So having 2 of those plus the 17 cycle cards she had made the deck really competitive, and a lot of people were excited to see her get that far. I know right in my day, knowing she had a great time and that she had a fun draft experience. Maybe further on in the line, maybe she'll want to draft more, play Magic more. And I know that's the ultimate goal of a lot of Magic players, is to have their significant other or their spouse really enjoy their hobby so they have someone, another way to connect with that person. So that's what really made my weekend, is just the fact that she was able to draft with me. So on to other news. The cat is out of the bag. I know a lot of people have heard this by now, and I'm sorry for catching on late. I had issues uploading this all week, but unfortunately, and fortunately at the same time, Felidar Guardian got banned in Standard. It was an emergency banning, the likes which we haven't seen since the original Mirrodin block. The fact that Wizards is getting this handsy with bans in Standard has gotten a lot of people frightened, and at the same time, a lot of people are excited for a multitude of reasons. We have, on one hand, people are worried that if I do well with this deck, will it just get banned next week, sort of thing. And then on the other hand, you have people being excited that cards are getting banned because now it opens up the field for more decks to possibly join in the top 8 rather than it just being the same 1, 2, or 3 decks dominating Standard. Where you sit on the line and where I sit on the line may be a bit different, but ultimately it is for the better of Magic the Gathering as a game. With what has happened with the recent bannings, I want to go back just a little bit. I want to go back to the first time that we had bans in Standard earlier this year. It was Emrakul, the Promised End, Reflector Mage, and it was Smuggler's Copter that all got banned in Standard. Everyone was affected in some sort of way with this. It's effectively the first time that Wizards nuked the field, nuked all top 3 decks, so everyone could have an equal chance at the new Standard environment. And unfortunately, I was playing Aetherworks Marvel at the time that Emrakul got banned. Now, the deck is still playable, and I'll get more, but when I played it, I played 4 Ulamog, 2 Emrakul, and Emrakul did make the deck a little bit more consistent, and it was rather oppressive, but Aetherworks Marvel and Delirium are the 2 main reasons why Emrakul got banned in Standard at that time. But at the time, like I was saying, I played Aetherworks Marvel, so I had to start fresh once already this year. When I say I had to start fresh once again, yes, that does in fact mean that I was playing Felidar Guardian before it got banned. Unfortunately, the deck's no longer playable now that its namesake is nuked into oblivion in Standard. I know there are people out there trying to play Felidar Guardian in Modern. Hats off to them for trying to break American Kiki again. Only time will tell to see if it is as stable as most people think it will be in Modern. As of right now, I know that there are quite a few players who, maybe as the week has gone by, the sting has lessened a little bit. But there are a lot of players who are still upset about it, still refusing to play Standard, because Felidar Guardian got banned. I've heard 2 different sides of the argument. For the first side, people giving up on Standard is their deck got banned and they don't want to have to rebuild it. Understandable, eventually people will come back to that. The other reason, and I did mention this earlier, is people have told me they don't feel as though it was a fair move on Wizards' part to do an emergency ban with only 2 days of data to go on, and I actually do agree on this point. I do think Wizards could have at least given maybe a week's worth of data or something rather than just 2 days of straight pros only doing the data. Ultimately, we don't know if the decks would have shown the same results. I'm willing to bet it probably would have, and they would have been Felidar Guardian, but it is one of those situations where 2 days worth of data just seems kind of hasty. At least, in my opinion, 2 days worth of data isn't enough. You definitely needed at least a week's worth. 6 weeks probably would have pushed it a little too much. Something would have needed to give, whether it be the Felidar Guardian deck or in the Mardu deck. Something needed to give. What I was surprised by was that they didn't touch Mardu in some sort of way. They didn't go and say, you know what, let's restart Standard over again, we messed up. Let ban Felidar Guardian, let's ban Gideon, or something like that. And I definitely know a lot of players would have been upset at that move. So here's my proposal, is instead of banning Felidar Guardian, instead of banning something out of Mardu, we perhaps needed to unban something. Now, unbanning Smuggler's Copter wouldn't have been the right choice because that would have just powered up a lot of Mardu vehicle decks, Mardu Ballista decks. Unbanning Reflector Mage wouldn't have been the right choice because that would have given Copycat another target to defend itself. So that does leave Emrakul the Promised Den. It would have, in my opinion, brought back Black-Green Delirium in such a way that it might have been able to fight back a little bit more against the Guardian decks. It might have brought back Aetherworks Marvel as well, just a little bit, so it could compete at a better ratio against the Mardu decks and against the Copycat decks. And unfortunately, that's not what Wizards would have wanted. That's not what they want, because they want to focus on Amonkhet right now. With Copycat out of the way, it gives rise to new Cycle decks possibly coming out, Madness decks coming out, some variants of Humans. There's a lot of potential with restriction of Copycat and banning it out of Standard. A lot more than unbanning it would have been. But that's just what I think could have been done in addition to some things. I do have data with me here off of the Star City Games Atlanta. And this was the first major tournament that took place after the Felidar Guardian ban. I'm sure a lot of players were kind of scrambling to cope with the banning in some sort of way. Maybe people didn't necessarily have the right deck because the ban was kind of out of a left field. So maybe these numbers aren't accurate. But out of the top, I go down to top 16 on this one. Out of the top 16 decks, there are 7 Mardu variants. So in order for Star City Atlanta, we have Mardu Ballista, Mardu Vehicles, Mardu Ballista. Then we have a Red-White Humans variant, which I highly recommend looking at it. It does seem like a very aggressive deck. Then we have Black-Green Delirium making a resurgence. Then we have 2 more Mardu Ballista decks. Then we have a Mono Black Aggro deck coming out of the woodworks, which does look like it has some potential. We have a Black-Green Energy Constrictor deck, which I haven't had a chance to look at it, but it couldn't be too much different than Constrictor already was. We do have a Black-White Zombie deck, Tribal after that. I believe the Monosaurus focused episode to that made some adjustments to the deck. If I didn't make a deck already for my Standard environment, that would have been the deck I would have taken. I do enjoy the Tribal theme. We have Is It Machine Gun remaking a resurgence, Jeskai Control popping out of the woodworks, 2 more Mardu Ballista decks, and finally to finish off the top 16, 2 Timur Aetherworks. Now, I stated earlier that 7 out of the top 16 spots were Mardu variants out of that Star City Games tournament. I don't know necessarily if that's healthy or if it's just people playing what's proven, and that's just what that meta was. There was over 500 people at that particular tournament. Little under half of the playing field, like 46% of the playing field, was playing Mardu at one tournament. That might show that we still need something either banned or more decks need more testing. I do hope the Black-White Zombie deck picks up. I think that it looks really fun. I hope Black-Green Delirium needs to pick up as well, or at least bring itself back into the fold. The Red-White Humans deck hopefully will pick up shortly. With what we've seen with the Star City Games tournament, hopefully things start to change over the coming weeks. The first couple of weeks after a new set releases and after a severity of changes, both in Modern and in Legacy when it comes to bannings, the format needs time to adjust. It really does. So I don't know if we can accurately predict I believe it's currently 32% of Mardu lists on MTG Online as an accurate representation, or if it's just that good or that solid of a deck. I'm thinking we'll start to see more decks pop up 2-3 weeks from now that will hopefully be able to contend with it or outdo the Mardu list. After the fall of Copycat, we definitely need a rise in status from at least 2-3 other decks to make it into top tier status. And hopefully Mardu isn't the next big boogeyman that we all have to worry about. Speaking of new decks in Standard, though, I have been messing around with my own version of a new Standard deck, and it is an oldie but a goodie. A lot of new players might not know this. And cycling in the past has been a strong mechanic. There are modern decks based off of it. We've had cycling make top tier decks before. One of the cards that, whenever I think of cycling, I think of an older card called Lightning Rift. It's a 2-drop enchantment, 1 colorless, 1 mountain. Whenever a player cycles a card, you may pay 1 colorless. If you do, Lightning Rift deals 2 damage to target creature or player. So it's a rather strong cycling trigger. And we do have 2 of those currently in Standard right now. One with Drakehaven and one with Faith of the Devoted. I mentioned Drakehaven earlier. 3-drop, 2 colorless, 1 blue. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you pay 1, put a 2/2 Drake into play with flying. Faith of the Devoted, I think, is the stronger of the two, and I honestly think their rarities should have been swapped. But Faith of the Devoted is 2 colorless, 1 black. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you may pay 1. If you do, your opponent loses 2 life, and you gain 2 life. So it ultimately creates a 4-point life gap with every single cycle. And this kind of reminded me of Lightning Rift in a small way. Yes, it's a bit more expensive, and yes, it doesn't target players, but quickly that cycling will stack up and allow you to win the game quicker. So what I have done is, I do find it kind of funny, but I mentioned last week, jumping back to last week, that I won my Amonkhet sealed out of 60-some-odd players, and I proved myself as quote-unquote worthy to Nicobolas or worthy of the God Pharaoh. So looking at in on what the deck I've made for Standard, I do find it kind of funny that I have now made effectively a Grixis cycling deck. So what I've done for my Grixis cycling deck is I've made the main wing con of the deck, Faith of the Devoted. I use 4 copies of that in the deck. I'm currently using 8 cycle lands, and then 8 of the check lands from the last Innistrad block where you reveal a mountain or a whatever it says on the card and it comes to play on tap. So you can actually work those with the new bicycle lands, reveal them, and they'll come to play on tap. So it's rather a good synergy, I think. I'm using roughly 26, 27, maybe 28 different cycling cards in the deck to help drain my opponent. I have ways to return all the cycling cards back from the grave back to hand, so I could reuse them. I'm using Archfiend of Ifnir as an effective finisher if Faith of the Devoted can't do it. I underestimated this card severely, and looking in on it now, I see why it is what it is. But I'm using Cut and Ribbons as a 2-of in the deck. So Cut, I do think should have been adjusted for what it is, but it is a rare. It's a 2-drop, sorcery speed, deal 4 damage to target creature. So it becomes removal, goes to graveyard. It has Aftermath where it's 2 swamp and X, pay X and each opponent loses X life. And you don't get you gain X life, it's just each opponent loses X life. So if Faith of the Devoted can't finish the job, and Archfiend of Ifnir can't finish the job, Cut and Ribbons will. I've playtested the deck against Black-Green Delirium so far, and it seems to do rather well. I haven't had the opportunity yet to playtest against Mardu, but I have playtested against several other Standard decks that people are brewing right now, and the Grixis list that I've come up with seems to hold its own. I am still fiddling with the sideboard. I'm debating on whether or not Torrential Gearhulk is a good sideboard card, and a lot of you out there are probably saying yes, it is. but for my deck, it doesn't get nearly as much value as it should, which is why I'm still debating on it. And so a lot of you might be wondering as well, why am I using Faith of the Devoted over Drakehaven? And Drakehaven, although it does provide a lot of blockers, I am using quite a few kill spells in my deck, so it's a Grixis control cycle deck. It does what it does without having to use Drakes. I am running 1 inside just in case somebody manages to rip all of them out of my deck some way, like Lost Legacy or something. That way I have 1 inside in case I need it. I just find that Drakehaven, at least as a standard card isn't nearly as good as Faith of the Devoted. It does go wide, it does provide blockers. It might help you stave off a turn or two, but there's just so much right now that the Drakes die to. They die to Yhini's expertise. They die to Sweltering Suns. For those who aren't familiar, it's the new Anger of the Gods, quote-unquote. 2 red, 1 colorless sorcery. It deals 3 damage to each creature, then for 3 colorless you can cycle it. So I'm running that in my Grixis cycle deck as well as a massive board wipe, or at least as best as I can get. It was either that or Yhini's expertise, and for cycling reasons, I just really enjoy Sweltering Suns a lot better. Overall, the deck seems rather stable, and I'll keep you guys posted. I might even post it to Tap Out or something like that and link it in future descriptions so you guys can check it out. Maybe have some comments or ideas on what to do or what to add to the deck sideboard-wise. But so far, it doesn't seem too bad. Now, if the deck doesn't do well, or if it keeps getting, let's say we're 4 rounds and it keeps breaking even or something like that, I will eventually change. I'm just hoping I don't have to change to Mardu to keep up with the format. I would rather be fair with it and say, yeah, I'll have to shift to Black-White Zombies. Unfortunately, my version of Black-White Zombies, I would want 3-drop Lily in there as like a 3-of just because I really enjoy her ult with the zombie deck. It's just insane. It's one of those situations where it's near impossible to lose once you have her ult, but I digress. There are other decks that I'm looking at. It should my Grixis cycle deck fail. I'm keeping my eye on the red-white humans deck. I'm keeping my eye on the black-white zombies deck. The black-green delirium deck I'm keeping my eye on. If I have to, I'll switch back to Timur Aetherworks if that is what I need to do. But as of right now, I'm happy with the Grixis cycling deck I came up with. And I'm hoping that I won't have to change much, or it will get me to top 8 consistently, or it'll get me to top 4, or help me win FNM consistently, because that's something what you have to do to grind up those points, to grind up those Planeswalker points so you could eventually become pro or get experience for each tournament that you need to get to. But something else that I found that you can do is you come up with little side projects. And so here's a little side project that I'm now sharing with you guys. Once every couple of months or so, I'm going to share a brew that I came up with for another format. And it's usually a brew that I've playtested and it seems to have done well. And so this month's brew is a modern brew. I'm calling it Prowess for now. The name's changeable, obviously, but so what it is, the object of the deck, of course, is use Prowess creatures to win against your opponents. So I've playtested the deck a few times, and it plays very similarly to Death Shadow. It'll win rather quick and sometimes out of nowhere if you catch your opponent off guard. I've done a turn 3 win with the deck a couple of times, so far it's not too bad. So I'll link the deck list and Tap Out if you guys want to look at it at the end of the day or something. But for those who are interested in hearing it, I'll go over the deck here real quick. So lands, there are 18. It's 4 Arid Mesa, 1 Island, 1 Mountain, 1 Plains, 3 Sacred Foundry, 4 Scalding Tarn, 4 Steam Vents. So pretty basic when it comes to the lands. Creatures, and what ironically enough inspired me to finally finish off this deck, is 4 of Enigma Drake, 4 Monastery Swift Spear, 4 Snapcaster Mage, and 4 Storm Chaser Mages. A few of you, your wheels are already turning in your heads. I could see it. I could feel it. I could feel it from all the distances we all are away. For those who aren't familiar, Enigma Drake is a 1 colorless, 1 red, 1 blue flying X power, 4 toughness creature. It gets X power, where X is the number of instants and sorceries in the grave. With Monastery Swift Spear in the deck, with Prowess Trigger, she effectively gets buffed every time you use an instant and sorcery. Storm Chaser Mage, same thing. He's a 1-3 with haste and flying with Prowess. At uncommon level too, ironically enough. And every time you use an instant or sorcery, he'll get buffed. A Snapcaster Mage will allow you to bring back your instants and sorceries. Here are the instants and sorceries we're using for the deck, or at least what I've come up with so far, and that is 4 Serum Visions to help you dig through the deck and predict what you're going to get. 3 Apostles' Blessings to help protect your creatures, and it's one colorless, one Phyrexian mana, so you are going to take a bit of life loss with this deck, but the object is to be quick. If you go late game, your odds of winning are very slim. So then we have a playset each of Lightning Bolt and Lightning Helix. It's usually direct face damage or targeted removal, and the Lightning Helixes will help you recover some of the life that you may have lost through the Phyrexian spells. Speaking of which, we have a playset of Mutagenic Growth in the deck. It'll enable Prowess really quick, and it'll also protect our creatures against Lightning Bolts if we need them to. It'll help us get the damage in quicker as well. For other removal, we are also using Path to Exile. If we need to, you could use it on your own creature if you need to get a basic land or something. But you definitely would rather use it against your opponent's Death Shadow or just something that's about to kill you. And finally, to finish off the deck, we have a 3 of Timur Battle Rage. It is 1 colorless, 1 red, instant. Target creature gains double strike till end of turn, so an unblocked Prowess creature with double strike is already pretty terrifying. But the additional kicker is, with Ferocious, if those creatures are power 4 or greater, they also gain trample. So if something can block them, odds are the double strike is going to kill them, and then your additional damage is going to go over. With a Mutagenic Growth on a Storm Chaser Mage or on an Enigma Drake, your opponents are going to die real quickly to that. I have had some suggestions so far. Kiln Fiend over some other cards, and Kiln Fiend isn't a bad card. And dies to removal is never an answer, but it doesn't have a way to really protect itself since it's only a +3/+0 every time you cast an instant or sorcery. Yes, your opponents die quicker. To me, it's more of a... And I like glass cannons, but Kiln Fiend's always been a super glass cannon creature to me. But I will say, one suggestion that I really did like was Bedlam Reveler. Bedlam Reveler is an 8-drop, 2 red, 6 colorless. For each instant sorcerer in grave, he costs 1 colorless less, and when he comes into play, he draws you 3 cards. You discard your hand, he draws you 3 cards, which is, at that point, when you're casting Bedlam Reveler, a godsend. He's effectively a treasure cruise on a stick because he is also a 3-4 with prowess. So if need be, casting one instant sorcery, and he'll already be active to Timur Battle Rage, so then he could start swinging the next turn. So I actually really do enjoy the Bedlam Reveler idea. We'll maybe make some sideboard suggestions. Of course, it's going to vary game store to game store, but this is what I found worked best so far. 2 more Apostles' Blessings, just in case. 3 Deflecting Palms to help deal with select creatures, help deal with Eldrazi, help deal with stuff that has hexproof, or help deal with other things like that. I did end up putting a 2 of Hercule's Recall here to help deal with Lantern Control, and it also... It really hurts Affinity, obviously. I have 1 Shattering Spree, some other people suggested Shatterstorm or Shattering Pulse. I think all 3 ideas are interchangeable depending on course on how thick your meta is filled with Affinity. I have 4 of Spell Pierce. Some people did suggest Spell Snare, and that's not a bad suggestion. It, again, varies meta to meta. I have 2 Surgical Extractions just as an additional way to deal with graveyards, and it is effectively free. And then a 1 of Thing in the Ice, and that's my own personal choice. The 1 of Thing in the Ice will help you deal with Eldrazi. It'll help you deal with other low to the ground or creature strategies. I have gotten the Thing of the Ice effectively to flip on turn 3 fairly reliably with all the Phyrexian mana spells we're running. And then if you Timur Battle Rage him, the game's over. After that, he'll do a quick 14 damage to your opponent, and they have no way to block anything. If you do try this out, please let me know. I totaled up the entire cost of the deck, and I will say this is an unsponsored video. If I get sponsored one of these days, trust me, you'll hear all about it. I'll be rather excited. But off TCG Player, the deck costs around $801, give or take a couple of cents. Prices vary, shift all the time. But at the time of building this deck, it cost $801. And that does seem fairly pricey, but it is right in the middle of when it comes to a modern deck. So if you're looking to get into modern, that is right in the middle, where if you wanted to build, like, say, Jund or Death Shadow, I think the price is currently $1,400, $1,500. Merfolk is, again, another $800. There are some cheaper decks you could probably build for $600 or $700, and that's like Burn or something like that, that the price recently got knocked a lot down to because Goblin Guide got reprinted. But you're still looking at spending quite a bit of money if you're getting into modern and you want a competitive modern deck. I would recommend trying out this build if it does seem like something that you'd be interested in. Just please let me know how it goes. I'm all for sharing information, sharing ideas, and personally I'd be rather excited to hear somebody take a top list with this, or at least something similar. But that being said, that is the close of my show for now. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Please like, share, and subscribe on YouTube. You can find me at MTG Eternities. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG Eternities. Please follow me there if you can. So until next time, all lines of thought are open for all magic seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.